When I pulled myself back together, I was sitting on the bed, my legs folded Indian style, my palms rested on my knees. My breathing was slow and rhythmically heavy, my back was straight, my head pounded painfully, but not cripplingly so. I looked up and around the room. It was dark, but I'd been in there long enough for my eyes to adjust to the light coming under the door. I could see myself in the dresser mirror. My back was straight and relaxed. I'd taken my coat off and was wearing a black t-shirt that read "Prefectionist" in small white letters backward in the mirror. A thin, dark runnel of blood had streamed from each nostril and was now drying on my upper lip. I could taste blood in my mouth, probably from where I'd bitten my tongue earlier. I thought of my pursuer again, and the image made me shudder, but that was all. I kept breathing slowly and steadily. That was the upside of being human. On the whole, we're an adaptable sort of being. Certainly, I'd never be able to get rid of my memory of this awful thing, or any of the other awful things I'd seen. So if the memory couldn't change, it would have to be me. I could get used to seeing that kind of horror, enough to see it and yet remain a reasoning being. Better men than I had done so. Morgan had. I shivered again, and not because of any memory. It was because I knew what it could mean. When you forced yourself to live with hideous things like that, it changed you. Maybe not all at once. Maybe it didn't turn you into a monster. But I'd been scarred, and I knew it. How many times would something like this need to happen before I started bending myself into something horrible just to survive? I was young for a wizard. Where would I be after decades or centuries of refusing to look away? Ask Morgan. I got up and went into the bathroom attached to the bedroom. I turned on the lights and winced as they raked at my eyes. I washed the blood from my face and cleaned the sink of it carefully. In my business, you don't leave your blood where anyone can find it. Then I put my coat back on and left the bedroom. Billy and Georgia were in the living room. Billy was at the window that led out to the tiny balcony. Georgia was on the phone. "I'm not getting anything out here," Billy said. "Is he sure?" Georgia murmured into the phone. "Yes, he's sure it circled this way. It should be in sight from where you are." "It isn't," Billy said. He turned his head over his shoulder and said, "Harry, are you all right?" "I'll survive," I said, and paced over to the window. "It followed me here, huh?" "Something's outside," Billy said. "Something we've never run into before. It's been playing hide and seek with Kirby and Andy for an hour. They can't catch it or get a good look at it." I gave Billy a sharp look. There weren't many things that could keep ahead of the werewolves working together. Wolves are just too damn alert and quick, and Billy and company had been working Chicago almost as long as I had. They knew how to handle themselves. And in the past couple of months, I'd been teaching my apprentice a little humility by letting her try her veiling spells against the werewolves. They'd hunted her down in moments, every time. "So whatever's out there, it isn't human," I said. "Not if it can stay ahead of Kirby and Andy." I crossed to the window and stared out with Billy. "And it can veil itself from sight." "What is it?" Billy asked quietly. "I don't know," I said, "but it's real bad." I glanced back at Georgia. "How long was I down?" She checked her watch. 82 minutes. I nodded. "It's had plenty of time to try to come in, if that's what it wanted." I felt a nauseated little quiver in my stomach as a tight smile stretched my lips. "It's playing with me." "What?" Billy said. "It's dancing around in front of us out there, under a veil. It's daring me to use my sight so that I'll be able to spot it." From outside, there was a sound, a cry. It was short and high-pitched, loud enough to make the windows quiver. I'd never heard anything like it before. The hair stood up on the back of my neck, a purely instinctive reaction. My instincts had been tracking this thing well so far, so I trusted them when they told me one more thing. That cry was a statement. The hunt was on. An instant later, every light in sight blew out in a shower of sparks, and darkness swallowed several city blocks. "Tell Andy and Kirby to get back here to the apartment," I snapped at Georgia. I grabbed my staff from where it leaned against the wall by the door. Billy, you're with me. Get your game face on. Harry? Georgia said, confused. Now, I snapped, flinging the bar off the door.